Well, it's time for preaching. Amen. It's a good crowd. I appreciate all of you being here tonight. Thank you so much. And Jay and Tracy, we're glad to have you. And she knows I'm kidding with her, but we're glad to see you tonight. And it's good to have everybody. And I'm very thankful for the presence of the Lord. So we're going to ask Brother Mike. I was going to give him his wireless here yet. He can take care of that thing. He wraps this thing up like nobody I've ever seen. I know he wasn't in the Boy Scouts. You know, the only thing about saying something about Brother Mike, you have to duck after you leave the pulpit. Yeah, we've had a good time. Really have. Had some good fellowship and enjoyed ourselves. I tell you what, the Sheraton was, it went just, we've never had a day like we've had today in it. And I'm not just, again, talking about the 3 months. We raced over 3 months in one day. There was a point in time, I mean before the Sheraton was over, where we had already exceeded the whole week of last year. And so, you know, the old flesh would say, well, you're going to have two duds coming up. Well, we might. If that's what God orders, we'll take it. Amen. I'm going to enjoy what God gives me without worrying about what might happen. Amen. You know, too many times we get robbed of a blessing, don't we? Think about what might happen. But you know what? I can trust Jesus. Come on, preacher.
Yes, sir. You call me the flesh because I'm the one that told him, said, you're probably going to dud the next 2 days. That's what I was here for, to encourage him. That's what I'm here for. We're in Psalm 37 tonight. If I preach 15 minutes, I'll be shocked. I've got just a real simple, short message tonight. And I'm honest before God. This is so elementary, I'm almost embarrassed. I could put the whole outline on a business card and still have room to write more. Just a simple thought tonight. I really don't have anything. Last night was the best I had. If he was going to shout, that was it. The rest of it is all downhill after this. I'm running out of stuff to preach. I've been preaching in meetings here for 7 years, and then you jam-packed me 3 weeks of preaching. And it's forced me to have to study. I'm not used to that much of that studying, but I've enjoyed myself immensely. And, if this thing breaks out and we go to Santa Claus comes to town, I don't mind. If God's moving, I'm all for it. If God's done at the end of the week, I'm for it. Whatever God's for, I'm for. And as a preacher, I just don't believe in all that. This is for believers.
Yeah.
Serious, that's what it's for. I don't have the attitude that we're going to go in and leave you behind. We're going to go in Canaan land, you can stay behind if you want to. I don't have the attitude. I want everybody to cross over the other side. I want everybody to get closer to God. I'm not a Pharisee about it, looking down my nose at anybody. I want everybody to get stirred up, even more so in their life. And I guarantee you, we sure wish we would have got stirred up more when we face them at the judgment seat. And but I have enjoyed myself immensely in the time we've had here and everything. And one thing about God moving on the church, one of the fruits, every single time I've ever seen God breathe on the church and a touch of revival, one of the traits of it, it always happens, you start seeing prayers being answered. Amen. I don't know why that is, but it's like all of a sudden God will start doing things and answering prayers you've been praying. Some of them may be prayers you've been praying for years, and he'll answer beyond even what you expected. And I told the preacher today, there comes a point when you have a revival meeting, if it protracts like this, that there will be people that will never get over it. Amen. You will literally look back the rest of your life and say, I remember that revival meeting. Hey, God moved. That even went so good, it got over to the radio program. We got all the funds up in 3 days. It's something we had never seen before. And so God can still work in this day and time which we live in.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that he can. You're either signaling the mothership or I didn't turn this thing on, so I assume I didn't turn it on. And all right, tell me if I turn it on. Okay. I think I'm on now. That good? All right. I know what help I can get. These non-filter cigarettes is killing me. We're in Psalm chapter 37, Psalm 37. Trying to make you smile for a little bit. If you wouldn't, you're able to stand your feet and reverence the word of God. I mean this seriously. This, I don't have a lot of notes. This is just a simple thought tonight. And I'll just give you a few things that the Lord helped me with. The Bible says in verse 23, Psalm 37,
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall. My Jesus, help us to help you people. We'll bless your name and thank you for it tonight and at the judgment seat. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. This is so simplistic, you don't even have to turn your Bible. This is the only scripture I'm looking at tonight. It's my only thought that I have this evening. I want to preach on the simple thought tonight, the truth about tripping. The truth about tripping. If you look back in the text here, if you're examining this, you're literally looking at the epicenter of one of the greatest truths you'll find in the Bible, that no matter what we do, even when we trip ourselves up and fall, he's still there to catch us. One of the greatest truths you ever learn in your life is that God is good all the time. God can be nothing else but good, and God will always be good in your life. No matter what comes your way, you can never indict him with wrongdoing. You can never indict him with mistreating you or doing you wrong in any way. You say, "Preach, I'm facing some things tonight that I don't deserve." And I know sometimes the flesh will tell you that, but I challenge you tonight, if you believe that, come to the altar at the close of the service and simply ask God to give you what you do deserve. That would prove automatically that God's good to us because he doesn't give us what we deserve. And so even when we face adversity, God's still good all the time. Look again at my text. I'll give you my thought tonight. In verse number 23 of my text, the very first words, the steps. This deals with the steps of a man. We're not talking about a man running. This is not talking about the strides of a step or the quick pace of a good man. It's talking about simply the steps. It's not talking about a man riding a chariot on a high-speed chase or running as quick as he can. We're not talking about a man running a marathon. We're talking about a man that is simply taking steps, and that's all it is. He's simply stepping. He's not running. He's not trying to evade anybody. He's not doing a 50-yard dash. He's not even at an accelerated pace. He's simply just stepping. This is all he's doing. This is the reason I say it's so simplistic, I'm not preaching anything else other than just what this Bible says right here. The steps. Then you see a standard. The Bible says the steps of a good man. We're talking about a man of character. We're talking about a man that walks upright with God. A good man. When the Bible references something being good, it means more than what we think. We think it means, you know, all right, it means something I'm going to kind of like. But when God describes you as a good man, that has an awful lot to go with it. The steps of a good man, not an inconsistent man, not an unfaithful man, not a man who says he's good, and not a man that is just on occasion good. When it makes the statement, the steps of a good man, it means his ongoing character. This is a man who always walks upright, and a man who has character about himself, a dependable man. You see his standards. The next part of the phrase goes on, are ordered by the Lord. You see his stipulation. The steps that this good man is taking are not of his choosing. These are not steps that he himself has decided that he's going to take. This is not like when you go into the store nowadays when COVID was really going on and it was really the main thing and everybody was, it was the main topic of subject all, on all the news and all the papers and everything. We even got to the place when you went in some stores, they had arrows on the floor pointing which direction you were supposed to go. You were not even supposed to go down the aisle in opposite direction. Guess what I did? I made sure I went against arrows just to prove to them I don't roll with the tide. Hallelujah. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We're talking about this is a man who's not running. He's not at a high rate of speed. We're talking about a good man who knows how to walk. He knows how to have character about himself. And on top of that, as he's stepping, God is even ordering it. Amen. This man is so deeply steeped in the will of God for his life. Just these statements piling on one on the other shows you how great this walk is with this man. You see the stipulation here is that he's led by God. Then you see his story. The Bible says that as a result of this man, him taking these steps, he's a good man. God is ordering his life as a result of that, and he delighteth in his way. The man is happy. The man that's described in the verse, as simplistic as this is, and I'm almost done. The man is a good man. His steps are ordered by God. He's not running. He's just simply walking. And he is in so much of the will of God with such peace and contentment that the Bible said he delighteth in his way. Amen. He's whistling. Amen. He said, I'm liking this. This is good. We've been in meeting for 3 weeks. Amen. I'm probably more tuned into God now than I've been in a long time. Amen. You may say that. Things are going pretty good in my life. I told the preacher there's times when, and I've done meetings that's gone for week after week after week after week in the same church, and then I've gone through times where I'd be on the road back to back meetings, and after you're in meetings week after week after week after week, maybe in different churches, you start getting so tuned in to the mind of God. It's not really hard to get in the mind of God. I even told the preacher, and I hadn't really told this story, but I was in a meeting one time, and there were two times in that meeting, it broke out, went weeks on end, and you go in the prayer room, and there were two times in that meeting that I walked in the prayer room and literally in my heart took dictation. I didn't have a message. I didn't have anything written up, but I literally walked in the prayer room while men prayed and was so tuned in that it's almost like God gave it to me, dictated, I want you to say this, this, and this, and even alliterated. Walk in the pulpit and preach what God gave me in the prayer room. You get that tuned in. Tuned in on the mind of God. I don't do it all the time. I mean, every once in a while I may get it right. Hallelujah. Don't look down your nose. When you're like me, you're kind of stumbling through this thing a lot. Anyway, Lord help me. Being too honest, I reckon. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're walking in God's will and you're delighting in what God's doing. I know it's not a revival message. This is so simplistic. He is delighting in his way. God is good. I'm whistling. I'm having a great time. I'm in the middle of God's will. That verse also has a flip connotation. And he delighteth in his way. The he could be God. It could be God delighting in your way. You're walking so close to God, you're happy. And you're walking so close to God, God's happy. Said, I'm proud of you, boy. Keep it up. We get the idea of God just waiting on the throne with a hammer ready to pop us upside the head when we do something wrong. That ain't how God is. I'm telling you, God, a lot of times when you start going in the right way and you're doing what pleases him and what honors him, God looks at you and said, I'm happy with what you're doing right now. I'm glad he is. I'm going to tell you something. I want to be careful the way I say this, what I'm getting ready to say. Because carnal people will take it and run the wrong direction with it. And I know that's going to happen, but the truth is on my heart, and I'm going to have to say it anyway. When you learn in your life that God is as much interested in what you're doing right as he is interested in what you're doing wrong, you're going to start to find out who God really is. You're going to start to realize that God is not a mean, vindictive God wanting to beat you over the head all the time. God is just as interested in when you're doing what's right. And he delights in you when you walk with him the way you should. I wished that was all of it. I wish that verse was the only verse that God laid on my heart to preach, because to leave it right there would be an encouragement. That all I got to do is walk. I don't have to run. I'm not flying. I'm not riding a chariot. I'm just walking. I'm trying to be a good man and honor him. And I'm going along and God's ordering my steps. And I'm delighting in what I'm doing. And God's delighting in what I'm doing. But the very next verse starts off with a profound statement. Though he fall. Now wait a minute. How in the name of heaven can a man who's simply walking, who is a good man with character, God is ordering his steps. He's delighting in his way. God's delighting in his way. In the middle of all this fellowship, still fall. The fact of the matter is that we can still, even after God has moved on us and blessed us and helped us and drawn us close to his side and we're stirred up and helped and blessed, you can trip by the morning. You can trip on the way home. You can lose every drop of victory you've got over the last 3 weeks, just like that. We're prone to it. I've watched people that's come and told me, said, "Preacher, God's helped me." And I'm not talking about this meeting. I'm talking about all the years of ministry. I've watched people say, "Preacher, God has helped me. I have never felt God's goodness on my life like this. I am happy. I am content. I've never been this happy in my life. God's been good to me. God has blessed me." Tears coursing down their cheeks. And in no time, they're plumb out of church. You think, what happened? You tripped. You got tripped up. In the midst of all that fellowship with God, you got tripped up. But look at the rest of verse 24. "Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Now this kind of goes even a little bit farther. He's not, his steps are not only ordered by the Lord. God's holding his hand, and he still falls. That goes even farther. That literally a man is a good man with character. God is ordering his steps. He's in the middle of God's will for his life. He is enjoying life. He's enjoying fellowship. God's enjoying fellowship with him. And then he trips in spite of it. I don't care how close you think you get to God, we're all susceptible to falling. And you go a step farther, he's even holding your hand, and you can still fall. But see, the word picture is more precious than just a condemnation, condemning statement, saying in spite of all that, you can still fall. The word picture is this. It's a man and his son walking along, and the man's holding his hand. And as they're walking along, the boy is in the will of his father. They're both delighting in the way. They're both just walking. But as he's holding his son's hand, the little boy trips up. He falls, but then he says, "I'm not utterly cast down. I fell, but I didn't hit the ground. I didn't go all the way down." Why didn't you go all the way down? You caught yourself? No. I was holding his hand, and when I tripped the fall, he grabbed hold and held me up. I'm not utterly cast down. You can even be holding his hand and still trip. But here's the good news. He ain't letting go. You ain't going all the way down. I swear it sounds like I've been listening to Joel Osteen right now. What causes a kid, as you're walking along holding daddy's hand, he's all powerful, you're doing good, you're both walking in a good path, you're enjoying it, what would cause a kid to trip? What causes a child of God walking in fellowship with the Lord to be walking along holding the hand of God in God's will, stepping and striding with God, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden holding his hand, you trip and fall? What's the old songwriter said? "Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That is a powerful line. There is something inside of me that is so weak and so Adamic in its nature that it longs after the thing. It doesn't matter how close I get to God. There's part of me that I have to still beat down. I still have to say, "No, you're not going to do that. We're not going that direction. We're going to do what's right. We're going to honor God." And you have to battle that all the days of your life. Say, "Preacher, when does it end?" When you drop dead, you'll fight it till the day you die. Two men were sitting on the bench one day. An old man about 85 years old was sitting there. A young man was sitting there talking to him. A beautiful young woman walked by. Beautiful figure in tight clothing. She walks by. The young man looked at the old man. He said, "How old were you when that quit bothering you?" He said, "You're going to have to ask an older man." You're still going to fight the flesh. I'm not justifying. I'm just saying you're going to battle this thing all your life. You're going to battle tripping, even in the will of God. I got to think about what causes a kid to trip. Let me give you three things. Number one, we stumble when we stall. We stumble when we stall. In other words, you're walking along, daddy's holding your hand, you're doing good, everything's fine, you're whistling Dixie, and all of a sudden while you're walking along, holding his hand, you get distracted. Just going along, squirrel! And you kind of see something off the side. You get distracted, and you start tripping because you're looking at something else. What causes somebody to trip up, even though you're in the will of God, walking close to Him, doing what's right, you're in perfect fellowship with Him, what can cause you to fall is getting distracted. Looking at something, and it may not even be something wrong. It may not be bad. I'd be riding down the road, and my wife's with me, and I'll see a golf course, and she'll hit me. She said, quit thinking about playing that game. We be riding down the road, and it ain't bad, but you can get distracted. I've watched people be in the will of God for their life and get distracted by something, and it take them out of fellowship with God, trip them up, and mess them up. Now, I hadn't been in a while because, you know, COVID broke out, and I went back after COVID finally, you know, they lifted all the stuff, but then I got so busy, I ain't been back in a while. I'm going to get back at the end of the, in a few weeks, no doubt. I used to go to the gym. I've got bad knees. I've got bone on bone in my left leg. I've got gout in that leg. I've got vertigo. You name it, I got it. And if I don't have it, I'm claiming it. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you when I die what you're going to put on my tombstone. Told you I was sick. Be buried beside a doctor just to make sure. I'm a hypochondriac, I'm telling you. But I go back to the gym, get on the treadmill, and I'm on the treadmill. I'm not going real fast. I'm the steps of a good man. I ain't running, friend. I'm too old for that mess. You ever see me running, I'm running from something. But I'm on the treadmill, and I see this guy walk by me that were friends. He fought in Iraq, had a couple of tours in Iraq, suffered from PTSD. We had hit it off and become friends, and I would talk to him about some things he's going through. And he'd say, "Preacher, how you doing?" I hadn't seen him in a year because I hadn't been in the gym in a year. And I'm on the treadmill, and I'm kind of in a pretty good trot, and he walks by, and I said, "AJ." He said, "Preacher, what you doing?" And I started talking. Boom! Whoop, like a conveyor belt. I'm laying on the floor, like, "AJ, how you doing?" He said, "I'm doing better than you are." I didn't get distracted by anything bad. I was just talking to somebody. I was on a treadmill. How in the name of heaven do you fall off a treadmill? You get distracted. It don't take nothing. While God's helped you and blessed you and blessed your family and you're stirred and you're on fire for God, don't get distracted. You can be holding His hand and you can still fall. Number two, we stumble when we stall. We stumble when we stutter. Sometimes you'll be walking along and there's something in front of you you don't realize is there. And you're walking along, you're holding hands with daddy, and there's an obstacle in front of you. You're not looking down like you should. You're either looking up at him or something else, and there's something in your way. Maybe a divot in the ground, a hole in the ground. Maybe there is an obstacle there you didn't realize is there. You're holding his hand. You're in the will of God. Everything's fine. You can trip over something laying there. Something put there that you didn't know was going to be in your way. I was at the Gatlinburg Mall here not long ago. I was preaching a meeting in Tennessee. I had to go from there, cross the mountains in North Carolina, then I had to go to Georgia, and the next day back home again. I swung through Gatlinburg, going to buy my wife a few things for her birthday. I go into Gatlinburg Mall, and if you ever want to see a freak show, just for entertainment, just sit on the bench and just watch everything in the world walk by you. It is entertaining. Don't think better than Gatlinburg, Tennessee for the freak show, and just sitting there watching people and all their weirdness is an airport. Because that's an international freak show. So I'm in the Gatlinburg Mall, and they have in that old mall, and it's been there for the longest time. I mean, it's been there a long time. And I go in this Gatlinburg Mall. I went in there as a kid. That tells you how old the thing is. And I go in the mall, and I'm going to go up the steps, but the problem is they're dimly lit. And I'm going up the steps, and I'm kind of not really paying attention. Well, I thought I'd run out of steps, but I hadn't. And I tripped, and I'm going up. I'm falling forward. Thank God that's better than falling down. At least the ground's closer to me. So I trip, and it's like a skater. A skater don't just fall. It's like drama. Dude, don't do that. So I fall up the steps. What do you do when you fall? Look around. Hope nobody saw it. Three people popping popcorn watching. That was entertaining. You can fall down by an obstacle being in front of you that you don't see. And you better know Satan's got obstacles waiting on you. He's going to toss out there to get you to trip up and mess your life up. And that's all it starts with, something simple. We stumble when we stutter. We stumble when we stall. Number three, we stumble when we stop. One of the things a kid will do sometimes when daddy's walking along, they're holding hands. A kid may get tired of the walk. He may grow tired of the pace. His little legs are smaller, not long as daddy's. Daddy's walking at a certain pace. The little kid gets tired, so he begins to get tired. He begins to lag behind. And you watch a kid that's lagging behind. The daddy's still walking. He's not going to slow down. The kid lags, and he'll start doing this while daddy's pulling him. Can I tell you something? When it comes to the will of God, stay in pace with him. Don't slow down. Don't take your foot off the gas pedal. Keep on going the same pace with God. Stay with him. He's not going to walk too fast. Don't lag behind. As God leads you, don't put on the brakes. Something happens in revival meetings. A lot of times people get distracted and they get to slow down. They said, I need to pace myself. One thing about this meeting, whenever the final service takes place, the following week after the final service, you're going to sit at the house and say, I don't know what to do. Because you're in a lather now. You're like a horse that has worked itself into a lather. He's at a good pace, and when it's time to go to the stall and say, what do we do now? You're going to deal with that. You're going to slow down. You're going to say, I don't know what I do. Be careful in those moments, because when you think you're strong, you can trip yourself up and hurt yourself. Number four, and I'm done. We stumble when we stall. We stumble when we stutter. We stumble when we stop. And number four, I'm done. We stumble when we steer. When we steer. Sometimes, and I know I've dealt with this before, but sometimes when you're walking along as a kid and you're a daddy and your kid's got your hand, you walk along, all of a sudden the kid will like break out of the traces. He's not dragging his feet. He's not distracted. He's not tripping over an obstacle. But instead, he takes off. He takes off running. He sees something, or he thinks daddy's going too slow, and so he speeds up. Now, daddy's still holding his hand. As he takes off and starts running, trying to pull daddy, daddy's not going to pick up speed, so the kid's probably going to fall. Can I tell you something? Don't outrun God either. Don't get ahead of him. So, preacher, understand the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Yeah, but if you get ahead of him, it don't matter how good you are or how much you delight in the way, and he delights in the way, and you say you're trying to follow God, you get ahead of him, you're going to get tripped up. The story in the gospel, it only happens one time that I know of. I think it was Jairus that came to the Lord about his daughter. She was dying. And he tells the Lord, he said, my daughter's at home sick. I need you to come heal her. It's the only time that I know of this ever happens. The Bible said, and he arose. Talking about Jesus. So that means he was seated. He's sitting down. Jairus comes and said, I need you to heal my daughter. He's upset. He's in a hurry. He's got to get the Lord to the house before his daughter dies. The Bible said, and he arose. That shows right there that Jesus is going to go to Jairus' house. But then the next statement said, and he followed him. It doesn't mean that Jairus followed Jesus. It means Jairus led Jesus and Jesus followed him. It's the only time that I know of that you'll ever find recorded in the Gospels of Jesus following a man. It's always in the multitude followed him. And the disciples followed him. Jesus was always in the lead. They're always behind him, following. That's how it's supposed to be. God's supposed to lead you. But in that illustration, it was the only time I know of that Jesus stands up to go meet that man's need, and the man gets excited, and he takes off. And Jesus is following him. If you continue to read the story, a woman comes up, has an issue of blood. The Bible says she came from behind. And she touched the hem of his garment. She came from behind him, and she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. And all of a sudden, Jairus has a daughter who's dying. He needs Jesus to get there, and I mean now. We don't have time for you to stop. My daughter's hanging in the balance. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. He said, you hang on. Somebody touched me. That was an insane statement, because even the disciples said, Lord, somebody touch you. The crowd's thronging you. Everybody's touching you. He said, no, I perceive that virtue just went out for me. Somebody got help.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll preach.
Amen. Yeah.
You can throng him all day long, still not get help.
That's right.
That's pretty good. Should have preached that. So they're going along. He stops. Somebody touch me. He starts to interact with this woman. He tarries so long with her that the little girl died. Now, here's my question. The woman with an issue of blood came from behind. If Jairus had been behind Jesus where he's supposed to be in, the woman would have never got to touch Jesus. Jairus would have been an obstacle to her. Can I tell you, sometimes when you get ahead of God, God said, all right, go ahead. I'm going to help somebody else for right now. I'm going to let your situation get worse because you are leading me. I'm going to turn and help somebody else. Because you continue the reading story. By the time they get to the house, there's a phrase that talks about how Jesus went in. And it gives inference he went in first. Somewhere by the time they got to the house, Jairus realized what he was doing. He stepped aside and said, Lord, you go ahead. I'm sorry. And Jesus got back in front. Now, why would Jairus get ahead of him? He got ahead of him because Jesus stood up. He's moving. Let's go. Sometimes when God does something that seems to favor you, you may have a tendency to take off right then. And it may not be wise to take off right then. Just because he's showing signs he's going to go in your direction, you still need to slow down long enough to let him lead you.
Amen.
Another reason why he may have done it, he may have thought Jesus didn't know where he lived. I got good news. He knows where you live.
Amen. That's true.
Preacher, why are you getting that? Don't get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of God in your life. I read years ago as a young preacher, I think I was pastoring when I read this. Now, it had been before that. I was reading Leonard Ravenhill's series of books, and I read the one on why revival tarries. And one of those books he talked about, he said, it takes God 20 years to turn a preacher into a man of God. I read that phrase, made me mad. I slammed the book shut, said, I ain't reading after this nut. The Holy Ghost dealt my heart. He said, he's telling the truth. I went back, read it again. I realized, Lord, you're right. It's going to take some time to get me where you want me to be. It's going to take me time to develop. And I'm still in that process of trying to be developed for the glory of God. We're going to stand our feet all over the building. The truth about tripping. No matter how good and how close you've gotten to God, we're all susceptible. No matter how much victory you got tonight, you got to be careful. Don't get ahead of him. Don't get distracted. And I got good news. If you do trip, don't worry. He's got you. You ain't going all the way down. He'll keep you from hitting the ground. Said, all right, come on. He'll put you back on the same pace and get you where you need to be. They're already coming. I was feeling, why don't you come tonight? So you're pretty good.